This is the 8th Right Radio Community Show.
Exploring the exciting community of Final Fantasy XIV.
A part of the 8th Right Radio Network.
And now, your host,
State.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of 8th Right Radio Community. My name is Stank, and joining me I have Nell. Say hello, Nell.
Hello.
And we also have Ganny Man. The 8th Right Radio Community Show is going to shine a spotlight on an important member of the Final Fantasy XIV community. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to ask them some questions and... you know, these people will be people who may have a web blog or someone who's doing music remixes or some kind of art, you know, someone that's kind of putting a niche in the community. So this week we are going to feature our very own Ganny Man. Say hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
It is good to have you here. Obviously, we got a whole bunch of questions, but... and actually, my first question that I had for you is just kind of where you came from. To recap the history of Ganny Man, you kind of have to go way, 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 way back. I remember hearing about FF Encyclopedia back when, back when we were doing Mega Elixir a long, long time ago. When did that project start?
Well, you guys were still on Be the Gamer.
Yeah, that's true.
I still rock my Be the Gamer t-shirt.
Still to this day you do?
To this day.
Oh, man.
With pride. So we got started 6 years ago now.
Okay.
And there were, you know, you had Zam. Zam was the big site. Mm-hmm. It wasn't called Zam. It was called Alakazam.
Alakazam, yeah.
And Zam was a good site, but it had its flaws. And if you wanted information corrected on Zam, you had to contact an admin and to update it. And it didn't always work out as quickly as people would like. So what I started to do is I had my Link Shells website, teamavengers.org, and I installed MediaWiki on our website. And we used to hang out in IRC, and a few of us in IRC came up with the idea, hey, let's build a collection of quest walkthroughs for ourselves, and you know, we can share them with our Link Shell. So that's how we started, and it started to get bigger and bigger. And it, you know, for the first couple of months, it didn't go anywhere except me and Gahu. We put some information in there from time to time, just you know, job information, stuff like that, spell lists.
Right, right.
And as it started to grow, we would go to other websites and say, hey, we think that this thing could really work. Why don't you come help us out?
Right, yeah.
And at the time, a lot of Link Shells, you had like the Kool-Aid Link Shell website, if you remember, and they had some really good stuff on their website. And there were other Link Shell websites. Clan Wind was another one. And so we thought, hey, we're just going to be another Link Shell site that has this useful page. And it started to grow and grow and grow. And Gahu... he's a big soloer in the game, so he played Beastmaster, and he wrote this like awesome Beastmaster guide, and then
NPCs
came out, and the NPC guide we had was like the best NPC guide that anybody had anywhere. And everybody started coming to our site for these specific kind of pages, and they started getting into editing, and the whole thing just started snowballing, and it outgrew our Link Shell website from what we thought was going to be this handy little, you know, couple of little guides. Started becoming everything about the game. So we broke it off of our Link Shell website and started ffencyclopedia.org.
I see. Okay, so this thing didn't actually start as being like this huge wiki project. It was just a little kind of quest guide kind of thing, right?
Yeah, we didn't think it was going to blow up the way it did.
Oh, that's... You know, that's how things work out sometimes, you know?
Yep, and I remember looking at like server logs going... oh, wow, this thing's got a lot of traffic going, and we're going to have to upgrade our hosting plan. And it seemed like every month we were upgrading a hosting plan. And then we were, before we knew it, we were on our own dedicated server, and then we had multiple dedicated servers. And then we outgrew ourselves, and we moved into Wikia, and you know.
Yeah, that's
the legend.
Yeah, it's a huge community undertaking as well. You know, you have to have a lot of people, you know, involved in updating the wiki and changing information as the game changes and stuff. And so it's a living kind of being. And that's really cool. I mean, we've had you on Pet Food Alpha before. I don't know if we've really gotten into the nitty gritty as to how the FF Encyclopedia started. I don't think so, anyway. Maybe we talked about
and
it. But
once we reached a certain point, it took many, many months of emailing Square Enix, like, hey, you know, I think we're your biggest site now. Can we be a premier site? And it took many months and many months, and then they finally recognized us as a premier site. And it was good to hear that the developers and the community guys, they use our site to look up information. And I think even at a fan fest, they, you know, Matt was there. He's like using our site to find information about the live quest and stuff like that. So it's complimentary to hear those things.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's kind of funny because, you know, everybody knows FF Encyclopedia, you know, who doesn't use the wiki, you know? And it's funny because in my little circle, you know, when I meet somebody, I'll be like, hey, yeah, you use the wiki? Yeah, I know Ganyman. Yeah, me and him, like this, you know? So, but yeah, that's really cool how something as small as an idea to just create a little guide can turn into some huge wiki. Anybody ever tried to start a wiki before? It's a huge undertaking.
And now we've got a whole group of admins, and collectively we have many, many, many years of experience with wikis, and we can do some pretty advanced things with it now that 6 years ago you would never think would be possible inside of a wiki.
Sweet. And actually, go ahead.
I remember way back when it was still like the only time you could find any information was some page or mystery tour.
Oh, some page.
And I remember I took a break for about a year and I came back and one of my friends told me about FFX Encyclopedia and I was just blown away by how much information and depth was on there.
Yeah. Yeah, when we were at Be the Gamer, there was someone over there, one of the admins over there, was interested in starting a wiki just from scratch, and a couple weeks later it was just like, no way, there's just no possible way that we could get a wiki started, because it's a huge undertaking, and you need tons and tons of people to make it grow, and, you know,
now everybody's got a wiki.
Yeah. So with that, with the experience thing, that sort of takes me back into our next question, and that is, for Orzeapedia.com, what was the original vision for what Orzeapedia is going to be, what was going to be?
Well, we know that with all of our experience with a wiki, we know that there are limitations to a wiki, such as, you know, if you want to do a news site, a wiki is not a great place to do it. We tried to do it on FF Encyclopedia, and keeping that main page up to date is not very easy, and not a lot of people can do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to FF Encyclopedia now, it's a little bit slower on the main page than it used to be, because now all the people who used to do that are now at eOrzapedia trying to keep that site growing.
Right.
So what we did is we took WordPress and MediaWiki and wrote a lot of stuff to make them work together, and we took forum software and we wrote a lot of stuff to fit that into this funny puzzle, kind of fit in a square peg in a round hole. And we've got it all working together now, and there's still a couple of kinks here and there, but we know how to fix them. It's just a matter of, you know, time and manpower. And so the vision is to have one place you need to go for everything. So you've got your news on the front page, and you've got your forums where discussions can happen, and, you know, they've been going on for over a year now, and now the wiki's really picking up, and so you kind of have everything in one place, and now we've got our, you know, world status page up, and
that
information. And
which is awesome, by the way, I gotta point that out. It's really cool to have that there.
It works well, and it just works on its own. And so we want to provide a place where you can have everything in one place. And, you know, we know not everybody's going to go to one place for everything, but some people will, and we're going to do our best to make that happen for those people.
Right. Okay. What? My next question, actually, which kind of came from the last question, was when did you decide that Ozeapedia.com was going to happen?
We knew it was going to happen. You know, I had an interview with Tanaka and Sundy and at E3 a few years ago, when I tried to squeak in a couple of Rapture questions because everybody knew this Rapture thing was going on, and
right.
We knew that the same people were working on it, so we figured it was going to be another MMO. And once we knew that was happening, we said, well, we're going to do a site for this game too. And as soon as we have some information about this site, we can start the site. And we talked about it for a long time, and we talked to Fusion, and we thought, hey, let's wrap in the podcast people. And we talked to Nero, and we tried to get him, and everybody said, hey, yeah, we want to do something together, but we didn't know quite what it would be about yet, because we just knew this name Rapture, and we had this, you know, tech demo screenshot that nobody even really knows if it's for the game or not. And people are trying to fit where it fits in now, and it doesn't really fit anywhere.
Right.
So we knew we were going to do something. We didn't know what it was going to be called because we didn't know the name of the game. And then E3 2009, when they announced that Rapture was going to be Final Fantasy 14, and they had that first video, and it said, you know, welcome to Eorzea. You know, we watched it like live, and we're like, there's our name. And, you know, we were Pedia before, so we took a piece of the title and we threw Pedia at the end. And a lot of people thought, well, why don't you do FFXIV Clopedia? And we looked it up that day, and it was still available. And we thought, well, we don't want to copy ourselves. We want to.
Yeah.
Fresh.
It's a new animal
to it, but still something the same. Mm-hmm. And so we came up with a new name, and by the end of the day the other domain had gone away, and you know, somebody thought maybe they'd trick people into using the name again, or
right.
I don't know, but the site doesn't seem to be taking off or anything, and they actually approached us to buy that domain, but we're okay on our own.
Well, that's why they bought it, or that's why they registered it. Because they're like, Ganyman's going to want to buy it, so let's pick
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, I think that they have offered it to a bunch of people, and people are like, yeah, whatever.
Not to mention the Ozeapedia rolls off the tongue a lot nicer.
It's a little easier to say, I think, but it's still, like, tricky to say, and that's kind of our thing. We were tricky to say before, and we're still tricky to say, but in a different way.
Right.
It kind of, like, leaves a stain on your brain.
Ozeapedia. So, you know, Fusion and Nero, they still maintain that it's Ozeapedia, but I still say it's Ozeapedia.
I think everybody has their way of saying it, and everybody kind of has their way of saying the other site. But in the end, everybody's like the wiki. That's kind of who we are. You know, if you say the wiki, I think people are talking about us still. I know they're talking about us in 11, so I think we're still the wiki, you know, even though other people still have wikis.
Right, exactly. The wiki, yeah.
But we knew that, you know, we always knew we were going to do another site. We're huge fans of the series.
Obviously. And,
you know, we have a long-going relationship with Square Enix now for, you know, 5 years or more. You know, we know their people. We've met them many times. We've interviewed them, so...
Well, yeah, which is that's a really really cool thing. And actually, you know, with the involvement of the community teams over at Square, you know, you don't need to be Ganyman to, you know, talk to the community team anymore. You know, they're actually, you know, coming out, and you know, they did the podcast tour for Final Fantasy XI and
yep.
And stuff. So it's a really cool part of the community. How will Ozeapedia be different from FFXcyclopedia? Actually, this is Nell's question. Nell actually put this up in the forum thread.
Well, it's if you are involved with the development of the wiki, and I don't just mean the admins or, you know, the bigger editors, just anybody who's adding a little bit of information to the wiki, you'll see that it's a lot easier to add to this wiki than our last one. The templates that we use now are light years ahead of what we use at FFXcyclopedia. For example, when you create an item page or say you just even add an NPC resale price to an item page, you don't have to go to 10 other pages that may be related. Right. You don't have to go to all these different pages to put in that resale price, because when you put it in once, every other page reads off of that one page to build tables in these other places. So the editing process is very streamlined. And
that's very cool.
You don't have to do as many edits to achieve the same goal.
Right.
So our templates are far more advanced than they used to be. And like I said, now we've got the news on the front page blog, and the forums are integrated, and it's the same username and password to log into all the pieces of our site. And
cool.
We even have a Mumble voice chat server, which
yes.
also uses your Yourzapedia name and password. So everything is very tightly integrated, where at FF Encyclopedia, the forums and the wiki are separate logins.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we've gone for a very, very tight integration this time, which we did not have last time around.
Easier page building. Would you say that anybody could add a wiki page?
Anybody can add a wiki page.
Like my mom, if she like went to Orzeopedia and into the wiki, could she add some info if she knew something that wasn't already
sure.
in there?
We've tried to make the templates very, very easy to understand. If you want
to
create a brand new page, if you want to create a brand new page, you can look at any other page and you can click that edit tab up top, and it's
right.
going to show you the source of that page.
I can tell you that I can create a new wiki page. So if I can do it, then Nell, I know that you can do it. I've actually created a few pages on the wiki. I was actually like super proud of myself. Like, hey, I'm adding to the community. Yeah. You know, so.
And if you make a mistake, that's okay, because that's what being part of a community is, and that's what being part of a wiki is. And
right.
someone else who may have a bit more experience will come along and clean up a mistake or fill in information that maybe you missed or you just didn't have at the time.
And you know what? It's a fun learning experience too. If you've never dealt with a wiki before, you go in there and you know, you kind of get a feel as to how this coding works. It's like, oh boy, I'm like a super nerd now. I can like do this coding and stuff. I had fun adding the pages that I added, which actually are still there. Nobody has edited them, so they must have been good enough. So, yeah, that's really cool. Hey, Nell, do you want to ask the next question? I don't want to steal your thunder here. Yeah, I'm just like on a roll.
Well, how does it feel to see the different pieces of Aetherite Radio coming together as a whole?
I think that's great that, you know, we're talking about the different parts of the site, and we have this whole other part of the site that's the Aetherite Radio Network, and Fusion has been doing a great job at, you know, getting on people to make sure that we're getting this done and preparing for launch. And we have, what, like 6 different shows or something?
Yeah, it's...
Instead of having one monster podcast and like a role-playing podcast, we've split up that monster podcast into sections, because listening to a 3-hour podcast can be tough sometimes, and some people might lose a little bit of interest. So breaking it up into sections, the people who enjoy the whole 3 hours, they're going to listen to all the sections, and the people who only like to hear the news piece will listen to the news piece. And I think it's really coming together really well. And I heard Fusion's first news
podcast. What did you think of that? It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it came out really good, and you know, we got the preview of it, and I think it seems very professional, and it looks like it's going to go in a really good direction.
Yeah, it sounded really good to me. I was very excited to hear that.
Yeah, short, sweet, to the point. It's perfect for people who just wanted the news.
Can you believe this game is coming out next week? I mean, like, we're talking Wednesday for the collector's edition.
And I'm really excited to hear what the role-playing stuff is with... You know, you said Earth has his script coming, and I'm excited to see where that's going to go too, and how characters will develop in that world.
You can call me a nerd if you want to, but I really dig the in character stuff. Like, you know, I would listen to He Says She Says over there at Limit Break Radio. And it was just, it's just a different experience than, you know, just like the news shows that you hear or whatever, you know, the people that are doing the podcast. It's something that's totally different, and I'm very excited to hear what Nell and Erthiger and these guys have planned for us.
I think having a network of podcasts is going to help expose people who may not have been aware of a role-playing podcast or a different kind of podcast, and they're going to go, oh, hey, it's the same team of people. I'm going to try listening to the different pieces, and the audiences will grow in that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally. Were you going to say something now?
Well, on this subject, I'm going to put it out here. Ganny, if you're ever interested and want to make a cameo, just let myself or Earth know, and we'll definitely try to script you in.
If you need somebody to die, I am your man.
That's awesome. All right. The next question that I have for you, Mr. Ganny Man, is how do you want the relationships with other Final Fantasy XIV community sites to function? Obviously, there are other sites out there like Zam and Core and all those guys. How do you see Orzeapedia kind of linking together with those guys?
I'd love to have a healthy relationship with every website. I think it's great that there's more than one website. Like I said before, not everybody is going to go to one website for everything, and people are going to go to multiple websites. And one website may cater or make a certain kind of person in the community feel comfortable, or you know, one website may welcome more aggressive players, where one website may welcome more casual players. So everybody's going to kind of spread out over different sites, and we all need to work together on that.
Absolutely. I agree.
I like to think, you know, we have a very healthy relationship with Zam. We've gotten emails from, you know, Zam managers who aren't necessarily Final Fantasy specific people. And, you know, Pico and I could email each other, or, you know, we hit each other up on Twitter, or, you know, instant message each other, and we're friendly with each other. And, you know, when we see each other at a premiere site, Summit, or FanFest, we get along, you know, and we can hang out. And I'd like to see that happen with other websites. I know that there's this stigma of Core versus Orzeapedia kind of thing going on, and I don't quite understand it, and I don't quite understand how it began. I know when Core got started up, they had copied a bit of content from Zam and from Orzeapedia, and they got called out on it, and they started removing content, or they'd say, no, we wrote this on our own. And it was just kind of, since then, they've just held a grudge, and I'm not sure, you know, what's going on there. But it seems that whenever we are brought up on the Core website, if it's anything positive about our website, their admins are instructed to remove it. And I've talked to their admins about this. I've talked to Cerulean Shaman on their IRC site to try and, you know, extend the olive branch and say, hey, come on, let's put this behind us. You know, we don't remove links to your site. Why do you do it to us? And they just say, hey, it comes from our bosses. Our bosses tell us we have to remove links to competing websites. And that's not really community friendly, because we're all in the same community.
Yeah, exactly.
So we should be working together, not competing with each other in that sense.
Absolutely agree.
So if anybody from Core is listening and we want to build something healthy together, then we're all about hearing that, you know. And
I totally agree with you. It's in the Final Fantasy XI community. Obviously, I'm not really sure at this point how Square is going to deal with, you know, community sites and or premier sites at this point. But, you know, in the XI community, you know, you had a bunch of different sites that were premier sites, and you would go to the site summit and work together to,
we got along.
To do stuff. And like, I think it should be the same way for 14, you know.
Like Sokaku from Warcry. Warcry kind of died out as an 11 premiere site, but early on they were one of the sites to go to when the game first came out. And he's been working with us on Orzeapedia. You know, we met him at a premiere site summit. We got along, we were friendly, and we worked together. We don't need to be part of the same site to work together. Like I said, we'll work with people at Zam, we'll work with people at whatever site. We got along with the girl who wore cat ears. I forget her name. She was at IGN. So, you know, we're happy to work with people, and we don't want to have any bad blood between sites. And, you know, we'll even work with Blue Garter on things like if they're open to it. A long time ago, we offered to have a new admin at FFXcyclopedia nominated by people at Blue Garter. Not too many people jumped on it, but that's how Charity became part of FFXcyclopedia.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
I don't know if he was the most popular guy at BG, but he was a frequent BG forum goer, and that's how he became part of our crew. We're all about healthy relationships, and
right.
We're not
need
trying
to, link
to
together.
Eliminate competition like that, you know?
Right, yeah, we need to link together as a community, and we can all be successful, and it's very important.
It's better for the game overall if, you know, everybody gets along.
Yeah, if there's somebody over at Core who's doing something special for the community, I would love to have them on the community show and kind of pick their brains on what's going on, you know?
We've even worked with the FFXI auction house guys, like Cliff. If you look on their site, all of their items link to our English wiki and our Japanese wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And our site, FFXcyclopedia, will link to them for pricing information and stuff like that. So we've done this interlinking thing between different kinds of sites. They fill a very specific niche, and you know, let's work together. Let's get everybody cross-linking and things like that.
All right, there it is. You heard it right here on the community show, putting it out there. Peace, my brothers. Peace. All right. Now, go ahead.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, I've heard recently about a maps project you have underway?
Yes. So, maps.
Maps. I talked to you like a couple of weeks ago, and you're like, hey, check this out. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, it's a map. And I open it up, and it's like a Google map, only it's of, you know, Orzea. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool, but it's very, you know, it was still very, very basic and stuff. And, like, now it's, like, up on the wiki. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where that came from, what it is, and what you can do with it?
All right. So before the game came out and before we saw really any maps in the game, I was kind of hoping that, you know, they talked about this seamless world, right? And everybody kind of thought that there's not going to be any loading between zones in this game. And, wow, what a great thing. So I thought, well, maybe the world is going to be one giant map. So I thought we'd take advantage of the Google Maps API, which is very feature-rich and can do a lot of neat things. And I thought, wow, so we can have one big map. And, you know, as it turns out, there's not one big map to the world. So we have many maps. And I've written a new extension from scratch for our wiki that you can embed a map on any page in the wiki very easily, as long as things have been plotted out.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we limit the plotting part to people with admin access because it's that part is a little crude and under development. So I don't want a lot of people going in there and finding something wrong with it or breaking it in some unknown way. So we've limited to admins to do the beta testing on that kind of part.
Mm-hmm.
But the viewing of the maps is available to everyone. And we have all of the Aetherite camps and all of the gates and all of the guilds. And we're starting the map NPCs. And we have all the zone lines in there and things like that. And you can zoom in and out just like you would if you did a Google map.
Right. Right.
You can pan the maps. And when you click on something on the map, like a camp, I'm looking at the Coorthas map right now. And you've got Camp Dragonhead in there. And you can click on Camp Dragonhead. And then it'll bring you to the wiki page for Camp Dragonhead.
Genius.
And from that wiki page of just the camp, there's even a mini map using the same Google Maps API that shows where the camp is. And it centers right on it. And it's very, very easy to add this map on any page of the wiki, even if you wanted to on your own user page, if you're really in love with this place in the game or something like that. And it's a very, very basic tag. And basically, it's just you encapsulate in a tag FFXIV map, and you put what you want the map to be of. So it's FFXIV map, Camp Dragonhead, and it'll find the map that it's on and zoom right to that camp.
Nice.
So, it's made editing very easy to add maps to pages, and you can set the default zoom level. You can center anywhere on a map. It doesn't have to be a specific predefined object on the map. It's very, very flexible, and it'll be very easy to port to like a mobile platform. We have all the code, all the back-end stuff is done. Things are being plotted, and we'll be able to share it with like a mobile phone or other skins on the site. And possibly, I'm not sure, but possibly you'll be able to put this on like your Link Shell's website.
That's cool.
You'll be able to drop a little JavaScript code on your own website, and you'll be able to use maps from our site on your own site. It'll be very handy for guides, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a lot of future plans for this, such as drawing paths on the map. So okay. If there's a mazy kind of zone and it's maybe difficult to navigate, someone can come along and select points and draw lines between points.
Huh.
And you'll be able to, or maybe like a cave. A cave doesn't appear on the map, right? You may be right. able to identify an entrance, but you can't see where that cave goes or if it comes out in another place.
Hmm.
So you'll be able to draw lines, and we'll be able to be cartographers and get everything mapped out in the game. We will even be able to draw polygons on the map where you could draw circles or, you know, other multi-sided objects to show a possible spawn location for a notorious monster or something like that.
That is very cool. Are you excited about all the different possibilities for little knickknacks that you can build for this community?
Yeah, I'm really, really loving the map thing right now.
And, yeah, it's definitely a very cool, definitely a cool tool that we're implementing. Obviously, it's still being tested, and obviously, there's more that we can do with it. But it's very cool. All right, let's see. What do we have next here? Okay, as far as projects for Ozeapedia, is there anything other than the mapped project that we're kind of thinking about that you could kind of divulge? Any little biscuits in there?
We've got an idea for a mobile app.
Okay.
You know, it's going to depend on who can help work on it and how much time we have before it'll come out. But we've got an idea to start with an Android app. I don't want to give away the secret and, you know, be swooped on the idea.
Right.
But it's we've got an idea, and we hope to get something started for it soon.
Cool.
We do have our voice chat server that gets some use. There's more popular nights than others. We used it all through the alpha testing and the beta testing. So we've been using Mumble now for over 6 months, and the voice quality is really good.
You know what? I agree. It's kind of like Skype Lite. It doesn't take as many. It doesn't take as much of your PC's resources to run.
Yeah,
it's handy.
Low latency.
It's very handy.
It's got a nice overlay on top of the game, so when people are talking, you can see who's talking.
Right, yeah.
Their name will light up in the corner, and even their Eorzeapedia avatar will show up in the overlay on the game. And
yeah,
if you don't like the overlay, you can disable it.
When I started using Mumble with you guys in Beta 3, I started to not like my avatar anymore because it's like orange and ugly, and I'm like, this looks terrible on this overlay.
This is Sparta.
Yeah, this is Sparta. So, but yeah, it's a really cool application. There's a lot of stuff you can tweak and do with it. So, check it out. It's cool stuff.
I do have a question on that though.
Sure.
You said you can get people to help. If you're not going to divulge too much information, how can someone get in touch with you to discuss potential ideas for the project?
Well, we're on IRC pretty much all day, any weekday. People are on there at night. I'm not on there at night as often. Or people, you know, maybe the weekends I'm not on there. When I play the game, I try to hop on IRC when I'm at home. But, you know, during the day, there's always somebody around. We're always talking about how we're working on the site or, you know.
If you've got a question about the show or if you want something to be relayed to Ganyman, you can email us at podcast@orzeapedia.com, and I will deliver your message personally to Ganny.
Another project we have coming is we're going to sync up with the player site. So your character information will also be viewable at Eorzopedia.
You know, I haven't even used that player site yet for open beta. I haven't even checked it out. I should go do that.
But there's not too much going on over there.
Not yet, yeah. All right. Anything other than that, project-wise? Anything you foresee in the future?
I'm sure that there's things I'm not thinking of. We've got, when we get 3 things done on the list, 5 more get added. So, I mean, our list of things to do is never ending, and I don't see an end in sight. And I'm not really upset about that. It's nice to be busy and be involved and be motivated to do these things.
Well, obviously, this is a growing entity, this Orzopedia. So, you know, down the line, who knows, you know, who knows what other community sites will pop up that we can kind of link with and work with and, what kind of things we can do. I can tell you my FFXcyclopedia mouse pad is getting kind of ratty here, Ganyman. So if we've got any,
one?
Yeah, I do. It's getting kind of old
and, mouse pads.
If there's any Orzopedia mouse pads in the works, you have
I'm
my,
sure we'll have something.
All right.
They went through your mouse pad that fast. I still have my pre-order one from 11.
I use my PC nonstop, just constantly, and it's getting, you know, it's, what was it, 2 years ago, December? That's a long time for a mouse pad. If you're using...
I think it's longer than that.
If you're using a felt mouse pad longer than that, you should probably throw it away or at least spray it with some Lysol or something first. Before he
I've heard of people using that mouse pad and taking the bottom side of it to be a beer bottle opener.
Oh, nice. Okay. Here's the final question on my list. It's what can community members do to add value to the Orzopedia experience?
Well, our goal is to be a one-stop place for anything that you may be looking for pertaining to the game. So if there's some idea that we aren't doing, you can contact any of the admins. You can contact us through the podcast or through the website, private messages, or our user boards. And we're open to hearing anything. And we may already have plans to do what you're thinking of that we're not doing yet.
Right.
If you think you have a better idea for navigation on the site, we'll hear it. If you think you have a better idea for, even a background on the site, we'll hear it. If you have any kind of talent that you think you can contribute to the community, we're open to hearing what you have to offer, and we'll provide a platform for you to express yourself in those ways.
Absolutely. Well said, sir. Well said. Obviously, the wiki is open to be explored and added to. So, obviously, you know, we had experienced the drop of the NDA a few weeks ago here. And so, it's okay. You can actually update that thing now if you haven't already been. I know I've been kind of taking pictures of mobs, you know, sometimes at the expense of my life. I think it should be mentioned. I've taken a beating to get a really good shot. But you know what? In the end, it's always worth it. I love the mobs in the game. I think they're very well done, and that's one thing that I've kind of been doing is adding wiki pages for mobs, and it's cool because I can say whether or not they aggro, and when they do aggro, it's usually a bad thing. But anyways,
yeah, I think everything's got a ranged attack that can throw around a corner and kill me.
That's weird because it's like, how could this rat possibly range attack me? And then you're like, oh,
for 5,000 damage.
I see. Yeah. If you ever taken a trek down to Mordona, you know that there's not much that you can just walk past as far as mobs are concerned. But A lot of good stuff. There's a lot of content, and the wiki is shaping up very nicely, if I do say so. So I think everybody's done a very good job over there. So kudos to you, Mr. Ganyman, doing a great job. In the last episode of Ate the Right Radio, I kind of did a call out for people to ask questions if they've, you know, something maybe that they've always wanted to know about Ganyman, or the game, or what Ganyman thinks of the game. We also did a forum thread. We started a forum thread a couple days ago for people to kind of put in their questions. And we did get quite a bit of responses, so we can't get to them all. But I'll start with the forum thread. Rusty Brazen Fire asks, are there any particular areas of the wiki you'd like to focus on improving first at release? Any information that you will want to nail down right away?
Well, I'm working on finishing up this maps extension. I'd like it to be almost complete by the time of release. So that's what I'll be focusing on for the next few days. There's lots of, you know, NPC and mob pictures to be added. That's a great thing to have. But the thing I think I would like to see the most happen is player-contributed guides. If somebody's got a guide to
cooking,
or a guide to mining, or a guide to, I don't know, chocobo riding, whatever it's going to be, airship building, as we learned at the Ibisu event. You know, you're going
right.
to craft things together, and I guess boats is one of them or something. I mean, if somebody wants to have the cake building guide, I'd love to see guides added. And if people are going to start creating guides, what we will do is we will take some space in the sidebar. We'll create little banners, and we'll rotate banners for people's guides so that they get attention.
Sweet.
And if
That's
people
cool.
want to have their, you know, recognition for collecting information on how to be the best pugilist out there, we will create banners. We will give those things attention. So I'd love to see people contributing guides to the wiki. And I think it's something that, you know, even if you are afraid to be a wiki editor and you're not sure how to make a page look good, but you can write well, or you have good ideas or theories about how to do things, you can create just a very plain text guide in the wiki. And if you want help to jazz it up a bit, we can help you with that. That's, you know, any of the admins will be like, wow, this is awesome. Let's make it look good.
Right.
Let's
right.
put some images in there. Let's do something to spice this up, and we're going to put a rotating banner somewhere on the sidebar that is going to give your guide attention.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, the wiki has a lot of recipes for things in the crafting areas, but it would be really cool to go in there and read, you know, somebody's view on, you know, how you actually do stuff and what things mean and how to get stuff together and where to get it and, you know.
I mean, even if it's something simple as, like, navigating Gridania or something like that, you know?
Right? Yeah.
Or maybe a theme going on in the game between NPCs, you know, or a quest series, something like that. I'd love to see guides like that start appearing.
Very cool. All right. Bylander says, "Will there be a preferred server that most people from Rosaopedia will be on? A huge link shell we can be a part of? What are your thoughts about the PvP statements that were made?"
Well, for a server, we're trying not to pick a specific server to tell people to go on, because we are a community across all servers. So we don't want Yorzopedia people to be on one server and have other servers feel like, oh, well, those guys are over there and we're not welcome.
Right,
so
yeah.
We want to be across all servers.
Right.
But the staff members of Yorzopedia are gathering on one server, and right now we're on the Gissel server. So if you do want to hang out with us, that's probably where we're going to be. But we're not encouraging people to do that. We want people to be everywhere and be friendly across all servers.
Right.
As for a link shell that everybody can join, as I said, how we kind of got involved with this whole thing 6 years ago, we were all members of a link shell. Well, Gahu and I were members of a link shell, and there were a couple others. And that was the Avengers link shell on the Phoenix server. So Avengers link shell started before FFX Cyclopedia did, and we're still around in a sense. Most of us, or almost all of us, don't play Final Fantasy XI anymore. But we still have our website, and we still keep in touch. And everybody would love to get together again in Final Fantasy XIV. We have a lot of members who are waiting for the PlayStation release to come out before they can play. But we do want to be together, and we've met some people through the various testing phases who have been hanging out with us, and they're becoming part of our link shell too. So we are the Avengers link shell, and that's teamavengers.org if you want to stop by and say hi. We have a very small membership requirement that we are not super strict on, but we like to encourage, and we just want people to post on our website so we get to know who you are and make sure that you're going to be able to hang out with us without any conflict between members or anything like that. And, you know, we're pretty casual. We're not a hardcore link shell, but we just like to hang out and have fun. And one of the themes we used to have back in 11 was Drunken Friday Nights. So people who are of age, of course, would, you know, we'd all get on our headsets on TeamSpeak or Vent, and, you know, we'd have a couple of drinks and have some fun and do some fishing and things like that.
So nice.
We have a link shell, but we're not trying to tell members of the community, come join our link shell, because we want all link shells to be part of the Eurozapedia community.
Right. Exactly.
As for PvP statements being made, I'm not sure what PvP statements exactly violated.
There was something at
at like the Ibisu event or something where they said
they were planning on something, but they weren't really. I don't think they really gave that much information on what they were going to do.
Well, I'm not
it's not another ballista.
Well, I'm not anti PvP. I don't want to be ganked when I'm like mining and have somebody come up behind me and like stab me and steal my stuff. I'm not really a fan of that idea. Or I don't want to be like a noob if I'm starting a new character and somebody just kind of high level guy hanging out in noob zones just ganking people.
Right.
But I do like to have competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a PvP ladder of some sort is a great idea. Ballista was not the best implementation of PvP, and Nora was Brenner. But I think, you know, that was just kind of a fundamental flaw of Final Fantasy XI. It was not really built to be a PvP game.
Right, yeah.
I think 14 has a lot more PvP potential with the armory system and how you can take abilities from any class and apply them to your core class.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can play PvP in their own style, and I think that that could work really, really well. What I really did love about 11 was Ballista Royale, and
okay.
I'd love to see an event like that happen again where there's, competition on servers, and then the winners from those servers, it's a cross-server ladder event, and they had the finals at a fan fest, and I think that that's like a really, really awesome thing to do. And maybe I liked it a little bit more because Phoenix was really big in it, and they ended up in second place for the North American finals. And I did know some of the people who were in that group, and I tried to get them to, you know, do an interview for FFX Cyclopedia, but we were so new back then too that they were kind of like, I don't know if that's a good idea. But I love that kind of thing, and I really hope to see a cross-server ladder type event happening again. I think it gets the community going, and even if you're not a competitor, you still cheer on your server or
exactly
your
right
or whatever it is. So you still have some involvement. I remember Ballista Royale; they would air the events on the Vanadil live cam on the website.
Yeah.
They would take that over and have like a GM's kind of point of view of the event going on.
That's really
you couldn't
cool.
even watch it because too many people were watching it.
Right, exactly. That was only one time though.
They only did it one year. They did it in Japan and they did it in North America and then they didn't do it again.
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer.
I think that the Japanese winner and the North American winner, they went head to head, and then like the Japanese destroyed the North Americans or something like that. But even so, I mean, even if they get destroyed, it's all good fun, and I wish that they would do it once a year.
Yeah. Obviously, Final Fantasy XIV isn't probably going to be geared for PvP either, because there's, you know, usually when you see PvP, you think factions, you think, you know, these people versus these people,
right,
and
right.
It's not the nature of Final Fantasy as a whole to, you know, just have everybody fighting each other all the time, you know, like it is in other games, you know, like Ion, for example, where you just,
yeah,
that's just the nature of it, you know.
Ballista had the spin where it was like this old thing that the Sandorians used to do when it was like for friendly sparring competition.
Yeah.
Kind of storyline for it, but still, I'd like to see the system get in place, and I'd like to see people get into it and have some rewards for being good at it.
Okay. Hey, Nell, do you want to read the... we're going into emails. Sorry. Scrape Goat says, "Hey guys, just for fun, where do you think Cid will show up in Final Fantasy XIV?
On an airship?
Maybe. If there is a Cid.
Doesn't necessarily have to be with airships. I remember at least two games that he had nothing to do with airships on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as he doesn't have big metal teeth.
They're like wooden teeth. He's like a nutcracker, just nom, 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 nom. Who knows? That's a good question, though.
I do hope he appears. And I got this suspicion that he's going to appear in the Garlean Empire.
That's a good call.
Maybe he'll be a bad guy this time.
No way.
Spoiler alert, he's a bad guy in 12.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Now, do you want to read Kensaki's email?
Sure. "Hey, Kensaki here. I was just wondering what makes Gammy Man so yummy to the wildlife of Azura. Been seeing him getting nom-nommed by a great variety of Azurian wildlife."
Well, this beta phase, I mean, I've been playing since Alpha, so that's almost 6 months of playing this game and getting a little tired of my character being wiped. So this phase, I haven't been focusing on grinding up to a high level because I just know I'm going to have to do it all over again. So I've been doing lots and lots of exploring as my level 10 Lancer and going to very, very dangerous places just to capture some screenshots or dialogue of NPCs in these remote places. And Kensaki has actually helped me get through a cave or two where he's trained some mobs just so we can get to the other side. I've got many, many, many gates and many, many, many aetherites. So, I do die a lot, but I'm not very far from where I died, and I just keep going, even weakened, and I'll keep going. I'm sure my armor does not appreciate it at all.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't.
But I am a Lalafell, so I'm sure I'm looking very yummy to some of the monsters out there.
when you get out there toward Mordona, it's like, whoa, what the heck is that thing? I hope it doesn't see me. Let me see if I can get a picture of it.
I have tried to test some of the types of aggro, if something is sight or sound. We don't have sneak or invisible, but
right, yeah.
I have tried to run behind things to see if they'll see me.
I've done the same thing.
More often than not, they do see me.
That's funny. There are some stuff that does aggro by just sight, though. I've found that's the case, so... That's cool. Well, that's awesome. Sacrifice in the name of adventure.
Yes.
Good to hear. Good to hear. And good job, Kensaki, for the sacrifice. It's worth it. I just can't. It's funny. You mentioned those high level mobs and stuff. Like, how powerful do we have to be able to fight those mobs? Like, you get hit once by one of those things and it hits you like for 5,000 damage, and it seems ridiculous to me. It's like I'm level, 14 or whatever, rank 14 on my job, and I'm getting hit for 5K damage. How powerful do I have to be to defeat this thing?
I think once we hit the level 50 cap, we'll be looking at those things and XPing off of them.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, some of that stuff's pretty scary. I can't wait. All right. Sean has two questions. He says, "Do you guys know the stat point caps and plan to release them on the attribute page before release?" And I think you mentioned that's already there, right?
Well, the starting caps are there. The final caps, I'm not sure that we know. I think you can get anything up to 99, but you're only going to have so many points to play with to get something that high.
Right.
So maybe you could get something really high, but your other stats may suffer because of it, because you get new stats every time your physical level increases, right?
Right.
So if your physical level caps at 50, you're only going to have, you know, say you get 4 or 8 per level, or maybe they go up or down as right. you get higher in level. So there will be a cap on stats, but I don't know.
No, the points are tricky because at level at like 40 points in any stat. Now, this is obviously just for open beta. You know, I can't tell you what it'll be for the release, but at 40 points, once you reach that 40 points, it takes 2 points to go up 1 point from that from there.
Right, and then it'll take 4, and then it'll take 8. And
yeah,
I think
so,
it doubles every time, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I, this phase, I haven't been leveling up too much, so I'm not paying too much attention to that.
Right.
I'm sure that there is going to be a maximum number of overall points that you can use to put in different places.
Right.
That's all part of this customizing armory system, you know?
Yeah, totally. Second question, he says, how easy are you going to make it to add data, and what are some ways you plan to make it go smoother? Along that line, will people be cited for the data they provide in any way?
Yes, people are cited for any edit that they provide to the wiki. On the recent changes page, you can watch what's going on in almost a real-time way. There's even an Ajax version of it, so you can leave that page up, and it'll just update, and you'll see, wow, people are going crazy adding stuff today. So every change to the wiki does have a person's name attached to it. So if you can hit the history tab on any page, you can see who's been working on that page. If somebody entered some incorrect information, it can be reverted, or it can be corrected, or if they miss some information, you can add it. So you'll always know who's doing what. We require you to log in so we can track those kinds of things. If somebody becomes a nuisance and they start adding a lot of misinformation in a lot of places and it looks like they're doing it on purpose, we know, hey, send that person a message and ask them to cut it out. So we do know if people are spamming, if people are adding the right thing. It's a very friendly community, and nobody's doing any kind of spamming or anything like that, but everything is accounted for.
Nice.
As for making things easier, our super-duper templates that we have right now that Gahoo and a couple of people in IRC have been developing and making very, very easy to use. I mean, it's almost as easy as wiki editing could ever be. The templates themselves are very complex, but like Stake doesn't need to know how to build the template to use the template.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's super easy.
If you compare it to FFXcyclopedia, this is like a million times easier than it
is. Actually never added anything to the FFXcyclopedia. I was always just too overwhelmed by, you know, that kind of thing. But
When I look at what we've done over there, I think, wow, what an accomplishment. But at the same time, I'm like, man, we could have done that so much better.
Right.
And so many people use that website, and they don't realize it. And now when we've got this new website, things are just much, much easier to add and keep up to date and script and bot and those kinds of things. So it's a lot easier. And if you get stuck, hit up anybody with, you know, an orange name on the site or a red name on the site, and we're glad to go point you in the right direction. There is a wiki editing guide. It probably needs a little bit of updating because it doesn't really include how to use our templates specifically, but there is a templates category. You can browse all the different templates, and every template page should have some kind of instructions on how to use it. Even if you go look at the source of a template on another page, there are notes in there that may say, like, you know, do not create +1 item pages because of how we're incorporating +1, +2 items into the base item page. So we mm-hmm. don't have 3 pages for the same item for maybe slightly different stats or maybe a slightly different ingredient to craft. So there are notes on what to do. And if you ever get stuck or you're unsure how to do something, you can ask anybody. And if you don't feel like asking or you think you know how to do it, just give it a shot. Somebody's going to check it out after you. Somebody's going to come along behind you.
Be like, whoa, this picture's way too big. We just need to reduce it.
Yep, something like that. Or they're going to go, oh, wow, that guy, he did really good. You know, you could tell he's new. Really good job. He missed this one little thing over here. Let me correct it.
And this mob does not aggro. What are you talking about, sir?
Yep. I saw a new editor just yesterday, for example, and he was adding these NPCs at a gate in Coerthas, I think. And he had them listed as higher males instead of Elizan males.
Right.
And they were obviously Elizan. You could see their big pointy ears sticking out. And so I just went along and I said, oh, let me fix these real quick. I'm sure he's doing a copy-paste thing between pages. And then I shot him a message on his user board and I said, hey, awesome job on your work. Love that you're adding the pictures. Just a little tip. You know, these guys, I'm pretty sure that they're Elizan, so just pay a little bit more attention to that detail. No big deal. That's what being part of a community is about.
Right. And that's the beauty of a wiki is, you know, it just keeps growing, and, you know, everybody's putting an effort to make it, you know, big and accurate, and it's a beautiful thing, man. I actually missed an email. I actually have it listed here at the bottom of my notes, and I forgot to add it into the emails. But Rajan says, many open beta players felt that its user interface was quote-unquote unacceptable for an open beta, causing genuine concern about readiness for retail release. Do you feel this concern was legitimate, and how do you feel about launch time? What do you think, Annie? You think this thing is ready to rock and roll, ready to go, or do you feel at this point it's...
I think it's a very legitimate concern, and while I try to support the game as much as I can, because I do have relationships with some of the people working on it, and, you know, I'm just a big fan of the series, and I just want success for it.
Yeah, we all do.
I do know that the UI has been clunky. Coming from, you know, a first day alpha tester, I've seen what it used to be, and it's like way better than what it used to be. And when we first started using it, we're like, all right, this is an alpha, this sucks, but, you know, it was cool to try out. When this last phase of beta started out and things were still slow, then I started rolling my eyes and I'm like, come on, guys, the mouse and keyboard combo, you're not attracting World of Warcraft players here. You're not attracting Guild Wars people here. You need to do something about this. And I still feel that they need to do something about it. I know people still complain about the camera controls on the keyboard, things like that. I think that the UI itself has sped up a great, great deal. I know that Square Enix said that the UI will increase in response with the retail version, and I'm sure that's because they're going to remove some of that debug code that they have going on that may be making it lag. Let's hope and keep our fingers crossed that that's true. I think it's good enough. For some people, good enough isn't good enough. So, you know, it's going to be a turnoff to some people for sure.
Right.
And it's a little disappointing that, you know, we've been hearing about this game for 5 years and it's like something like the UI. Now, they built this amazingly beautiful game, but if the UI fails, no one's going to want to play it. And it's a little disappointing. I play with a gamepad, and I'm not trying to say everyone should play with a gamepad, but this game is absolutely more playable on a gamepad than with a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah, today, definitely.
I do think that Square Enix, you know, they want subscriptions. They want a larger presence in North America. I did see in the last PC Gamer magazine, they had a 2-page spread for Final Fantasy XIV. They are trying to grab the attention of the North American market. I think that they will work on it, but they're going to have to overcome some of that Eastern stubbornness versus Western stubbornness and find a place in the middle where the UI is more friendly to a Western audience.
Right. Yeah.
I don't believe that it's all the way there yet. I do have seen what it was. I have seen where it's going, and it does seem like it's going in the right direction. Maybe not fast enough for some people.
No. And you know, at first, when I started playing Beta 3, it seemed kind of difficult navigating through the main menu for everything that you need to do. Only because, you know, for Final Fantasy XI, I'm used to hitting, like, you know, Alt I and bringing up my inventory, and bam, it's right there. I've gotten a little bit used to it. The keyboard controls are clunky, I guess you could say. Keyboard and mouse is very difficult, especially without the hardware mouse. They did say that they're going to implement that.
Yeah, they're going to turn it on for retail.
Because the mouse is super slow, depending on the system specs of your PC.
Like Cliff at the auction house site, he enabled the hardware mouse with the, you know, little app he wrote or something. And I mean, it was amazingly fast, and I think, you know, Square Enix did say we are in the retail version, we are gonna turn that on. So that's a good thing.
Very good.
But the UI itself still needs a little bit of work though. Like, yeah, you'll be able to use it faster now, but placement of things or maybe how you equip something or use something could still see improvement.
Right. I agree. I think I hate to say it, but it seems to me like the more difficult some of these little things are, the more people in the community are going to write little programs to make it easier. And Square doesn't really want that. You know, they don't want people to use things like, you know, I don't want to say windowware, but things that...
People shouldn't have to, because then the game gets a certain kind of reputation, and then you're going to have players from other games who are going to be like, beautiful game, but I need like six little programs to get it to work the way I want.
Exactly.
You know? It's like, what the heck?
Exactly.
You know, people in 11 got used to it with Windower and all of its great plugins, and I was a fan of Windower, and I did use Windower when I started playing on PC, and I mean, I couldn't play without it. I admit it.
It's just one of those things where it wasn't really necessary. They should have provided that from the start. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Final Fantasy series, and I really want to see 14 be a huge success. You know,
yes.
As far as, you know, and you guys too. You know, a lot of people are just really concerned with some of these little things because they want to see the game be successful. It's not that they're just, you know, moaning and complaining about everything. It's just like there's a genuine concern there.
Yeah, people are very passionate. You know, you see a lot of people maybe complaining or bitching about this or that, but they're sticking around. They're not just saying, hey, screw this game, and they're taking off. They're sticking around. So they do care for it, and they do want to see things improve, and I think that they're extremely frustrated that maybe their concerns aren't being heard or they're not being acted upon as fast as they should be, like this whole UI thing or the hardware mouse thing. People are, you know, in this beta phase, were like, what the heck? This mouse is still slow.
Right.
It's exactly. Like, how hard is that to make fast?
Right. Whatever difficulties are out there, you know, we actually are a part of a very talented community, and there are people out there who will make a little application that you can run to, you know, to make it work differently. Yes. Or better, or, you know, however you want to say that.
And
so,
if you've got something that isn't rule-breaking, tell us about it.
Exactly.
We'll help you get word about it. As long as it's not something rule-breaking, that Square Enix frowns upon.
We need to take a good look at
it. Probably will frown upon most things. But.
Yeah, we need to take a good look at the rules first. Right. And, you know, if there's something...
But if it's a site that will help link people together for, you know, selling items or something, and they're doing a great job at it, and they've got this niche, like the auction house site.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about, you know, helping.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're in a very talented community. People make, you know, link shell websites that are really cool. People make music, you know, based on the Final Fantasy music, and that's awesome.
There's another feature that we are planning on adding to the site is a way that you will be able to submit your blog's RSS feed to our site, and we're going to rework our blog page, our blog main page, so that you don't have to just have a blog hosted at our site.
Right.
You can have a blog hosted at any of the numerous blog sites out there. As long as it supports an RSS feed, you'll be able to submit it to us. It'll get reviewed for approval so that people aren't like linking us to porn RSS feeds or something like that.
Right.
And then we'll have a directory or an index of blogs to help the community grow together.
Absolutely. This Aetherite Radio community show is going to be based around that kind of thing. We want to bring these people together and find out what kind of projects they're working on. You know, Final Fantasy 14 remixes, you know, if you're doing that kind of thing, art, you know, user art or, you know, art, you know, role playing stuff, you know, that's good stuff too. We want to bring people together. That's our goal, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. Any final thoughts, guys? No? You still awake over there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
We do have a couple of other questions. I know I have one, and then there was the one from from episode 10.
Okay, go ahead.
Episode 10, there was the question that was brought up of, what's your favorite pizza topping?
I was going to skip that one. Okay.
Meat. I like meat. I like meat lover's pizza. But my favorite one right now is a chorizo and bacon is my favorite. Favorite pizza right now.
Okay, and I've got one more. Is, do you have any hobbies outside of 11 and what, or outside of Final Fantasy in general, and what do you think they would be?
I do. I play in a hockey league. I've been playing hockey since I was a young boy.
Really?
I
would not have pegged you for a hockey player.
Yep, I've been playing ice hockey for almost my entire life. I've coached ice hockey for little kids, and I play in the men's ice hockey league right now. Just started a new season, just ended a last season. I play all year round, and that's one thing I do. And then I have my family on also, and I have a daughter, and I spend time with the family.
Putting you under a microscope here,
but
Gandy.
Other than that, it's like, you know, running this website, going to my job during the day, family, hockey, finding time for much else is difficult.
Sweet. Well,
but I love it all. You know,
we're glad that you were able to join us then. All right. Awesome. Let's see here. Final thoughts? Don't have any final thoughts. All right. We'll go ahead and end. Hey, Ganyman, I want to thank you very much for joining us this week. We've got other guests that are scheduled to join us. The FFX IV blog guys. They've agreed to join us, so that'll probably be in about a month, I assume. So we'll keep this thing rolling. Thank you very much, Yanni, for joining us. It was a pleasure. It's a pleasure being a part of this community, and it's really awesome to see this wiki thing grow and see the site grow and see the Aetherite Radio Network come together. It's very exciting because we've been playing this stuff for so long now.
It's very exciting, and it's got me very, very excited for a fan fest, and I just can't wait for another fan fest.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us again, Ganny. It was a pleasure having you. Aetherite Radio Community is part of the Aetherite Radio Network. To stay up to date with the latest episodes, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Aetherite_radio. You can also leave feedback in our forums or by emailing us at podcast@orzeapedia.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. This has been Aetherite Radio Community.